Scripture reading from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 2. Listen to these 10 verses. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying. She felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then her sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby, nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are so attentive to the cries of your children. We ask now that you would deepen our knowledge of you and our love for the truth. Prepare our hearts now as we receive your words. Amen. I am grateful that you are here this evening for making the decision to be here. It could have easily been otherwise. I've read on the internet, so it must be true, there are roughly 30,000 decisions that we make in a day. I didn't do the counting. I don't know. I do know that a lot of them, the decisions I make, are fairly minor. What shirt to wear? So I had made that decision today. Which socks to put on? I did make that decision. This evening it was, do I have the salmon or do I have the haddock? I think was what I went with. I went with the salmon. And the minor decision, I felt pretty happy about that. I had the rice pilaf and the broccoli. I don't know if you noticed, but anyway, slimming out. Some decisions have big impacts. In fact, a lot of the decisions that we make impact those around us. We know that. In fact, you could look back on decisions that you have made in your life, and you can think of significant impact that your decision had on other people. Impact that even your decision had on your own life. You probably don't need to go back very far. For some of you, it was maybe what you did after you moved out of your house. Maybe you're done college and where you went. For those of you that were married, that was a pretty big decision and that had some significant impacts. Maybe it was a job that you took or a job that you lost. It was a conversation that you had, or maybe it was a conversation that you never had. You can go back and enumerate some of those major decisions in your life. And you can even look forward. Some of you are right now having to look forward and thinking about decisions that you're going to have to make. Some of them are minor, but they still need your attention, but not all of them. Some of them are significant. And even our own personal decisions will have an impact on others. Very few of our personal decisions stay just personal. In fact, we really don't know what holds in the balance of the decisions that we make. And I say balance because a lot of our decisions we feel, boy, if I just go one way, it feels so different. But if I move this way, oh, significant. I don't have to move much, and there's a real big change there. I know it's probably some of you are in that, right, kind of on the wire. It's a yes or a no decision. The great commander Napoleon, he's never been over for dinner, but I did hear that he said there is a 10 to 15 minute period of time in which the issue of a battle is settled. To gain this is victory, to lose it means defeat. It's a very narrow place, and oftentimes our decisions feel very, very close. I don't know if I have a lot of leeway. I feel like everything is on razor's edge. And if you are a parent, certainly if you're a grandparent, you've been a part of those small decisions that had significant impacts. So we look back to gain wisdom moving forward. Exodus chapter 2. We're introduced to a woman who is addressed here as the mother of Moses. We know that because we read all 10 verses. But it starts out, it says that this was a daughter of a man of the tribe of Levi who married a Levite woman. And I have to be honest, I started out this preparing for this because it was Mother's Day. And I was drawn to this moment in this woman's life because it was Mother's Day. But I feel the Lord has taken me a little bit on a different track, because we could look at her and say she made a great decision. She married someone of like faith. And, well, we know what has happened. People we know that marry and you're not on the same page. You're yoked differently, and how difficult that can be. But this woman, we know this, her husband's name is Amram. And we don't hear her name except in other Old Testament books. It doesn't even list her name here. Her name is Jochebed, a Levite woman. Well, we could say the decision she made was a good one, marrying her husband. But you have to, when you take a look at where they lived, probably had no decision over that, because this is in the middle of captivity. They're in Egypt. And we know that because you look back just in chapter 1. Look at verse 20. As they are in captivity, it says that God was kind to the midwives and to the people. They increased and they became even more numerous. So they were a people enslaved, and yet God was blessing them in their condition. How was your week? Did you spend any time in slavery? You don't have to worry about anybody beating you physically because you weren't working fast enough? These were tough times, yet God still showed up. Verse 22 in chapter 1, it says this: Pharaoh gave this order to all his people, quote, "Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live." So they were living in this foreign country, Egypt. They were in slavery because the leader that Joseph knew was no longer alive, and tides had changed. So they were slaves. Although God was blessing them and they had many children, Pharaoh was concerned about the rise of the population of this foreign group, the Hebrews, and so he issued this decree. How bad was your week? Were you faced with a decree from above that could impact your family or the families of your children or the families of this church? yet God was blessing them. We know that Jochebed and Amram had other children. We picked up on this in the story, but if you look in other parts of the scripture, had two other children. Miriam was a daughter somewhere early teens is what the best guess is. And then Aaron was, I guess, a toddler, as best I could figure out. So he had three children, and Jochebed finds out that she's pregnant. The decree had come down. Every Hebrew knew this, right? Every Hebrew family was put on edge because of this decree that came down from the all-powerful God-man, right? Pharaoh. He had godlike powers. How could you go against that? Incredibly difficult time for a husband and wife who wanted to honor God, follow God, believe God was blessing them with a child, yet faced with an impossible decision. And she did have some decisions to make, enumerated, just spelled out for us here, right? What was the first decision? Do I keep this child? Would it be better for me to end this pregnancy? Or do I disobey the king? Do I disobey Pharaoh and put not just my son's life in danger, but risk my life or my family? Well, she chose to hide the baby. It says she did that for 3 months. But that's a little difficult to do, right? I mean, I've had three children myself, and when they're young, actually, it's been a while. I don't even remember what it was like to have babies in the house. You guys are a little closer. Yeah, oh, the face says it all. Okay, I got it. Okay. I have 8 puppies in my house right now. Oh, the neighbor dog came over, and, well, we know what happens. So I have 8 puppies, and they're like 7 weeks old right now. Someone asked me, hey, how was Mother's Day for Jen? I'm like, it was like every other day, up early with barking puppies, hungry. I was like, this is a lot of work with puppies. Anyway, I just think my puppies, like, they're noisy. There's no sleeping in my house. She was trying to hide this baby for 3 months. Shh, shh, shh. Gosh, baby. You don't want the word to get out that I have a son? What would that mean? So we know the story says she decided, she took a chance. I mean, this is a huge chance, but a decision that had significant impact, ramifications. She saw this child, and in some translations it says he was a fine child, and others says he was a proper child, depending on the translations. And she made a plan, I think, trusting God. Verse 3, I can't hide the baby any longer. Hebrews 11 has a great picture, the what do they call this? The Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. And it refers to this moment. I just want to read to you one verse. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months, and after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. What a powerful woman, what a powerful couple. But after 3 months, they came up with this plan to design a basket, something that would float. And we read it there, it was made out of papyrus, and it was coated with tar so that it would be, I read in some place that the scent that was used, and I don't even know how they would know this, but there was crocodiles, there's predators in the Nile, and that they used a particular scent that would fend off any type of animal. I don't know if that could actually be known, but I guess if you're going to go to great detail to protect your child, you may have gone that far. Not only that, but verse 4 tells us their daughter Miriam was part of the plan. So she puts Moses in this basket, knowing, this has got to be understood, right? Knowing that Pharaoh's daughter came down to this part of the river. That was not a fluke. That was part of Jochebed's plan. Miriam was all set on the shore. The basket floats by. Pharaoh's daughter, what if she hadn't come to the river that day? You know, even the godless decisions have impact. But if we believe God is sovereign, then even Pharaoh's daughter, God was going to use her decision that day. She's at the river. The basket floats by. She sees it, has her slaves to go get it and fetch it, and they see that this is a child, and she knows immediately. She goes, this is a Hebrew baby. She knows what's supposed to happen to Hebrew babies. But Miriam, the daughter, the young, maybe 10, maybe 11, 12, or 13, she hops down. What did she say? Pharaoh's daughter. Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? I might know a nursing woman nearby. And you realize that the response of Pharaoh's daughter in verse 8, the Exodus hinges on her decision. Shall I go get a nursing mom to care for this baby? And what if Pharaoh's daughter had said, no. Throw it in the Nile. But she said, yes, go. Not only that, she says, as the woman comes, and it's Jochebed. Jochebed is right there. She's given the child and says, nurse this child, raise this child, and I will pay you. Is there any doubt that God was blessing this family? What was hanging in the balance of Pharaoh's daughter's decision? So Moses goes back to Jochebed. What happens? There's some debate about how long Moses actually was weaning with his mother, because he had to have learned Hebrew. Well, if he was only weaning for 2 years, that's a little challenging to learn Hebrew. He learned about God. He learned about his faith. You know, he went on to write the first 5 books of the Bible. He had to have learned the Hebrew language and even his mission. Acts chapter 7 speaks of this account as well. At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months, he was cared for by his family. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. What happened then? Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. So Moses went back to Jochebed. She raised him, her and her husband. Had to have learned Hebrew, because the Egyptians didn't speak Hebrew. And then in Pharaoh's court, in his home, gained in wisdom and was educated in the Egyptians' way. The decisions that we make, what hangs in the balance. And I'm not just talking to moms on Mother's Day. I'm actually talking to sophomores in high school too, because the decisions you're making have an impact. Other moments in time when we were standing, maybe at a crossroads, Joshua 24:15. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. 1 Kings 18:21. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. Yes, even a 15 or 16-year-old is at a point in life where they make decisions. that have impact for eternity. We all are making these decisions. C.S. Lewis, the author, said, every time you make a choice, you are turning the central part of you, or that part that chooses, into something a little different than it was before. The decisions that you make, now even as if you're in your 60s or 70s, you're not done being changed by the decisions you make. People are not done being impacted by the decisions that you make. I am grateful for the decision that, well, as a story was retold to me, a family in this church, back in 1984, helped my mom, who lived just up the hill, single mom, three boys. I was nine. As I understand it, a family in this church paid for me to go to Word of Life Ranch for a week, or at least helped, I don't know. And it was at that camp week where I had a significant moment, a decision, even as a nine-year-old. That changed the course of my time. I went back to Word of Life. I went to their Bible college. And now here you are sitting as I'm opening the Word. Like, this is significant. And someone in this church, it was your fault. So if I'm going long, it's your fault. No. Just some things on how to make decisions. If they're so important, I think everyone could benefit from this. Number one, you making decisions, we bring it before the Lord. There's no question about it. And we can't just wait to pray when the decision time has come. You have got to be in the habit of bringing these things before the Lord daily, just having an attitude of prayer, a conversation. He's not distant. What did we read in the Gospels? That the advocate would come, the Holy Spirit, and dwells. You are not distant from the Lord. So talk. Pray. Seek wisdom as you make decisions. And the Proverbs are full of references. I don't have time to read them here. Seek out counsel. Take your time. The word is prudent. Be prudent. Don't be rash in your decision making. They have an impact. And when you make a decision, commit it to the Lord. Jochebed made a decision. Do you think she waffled back and forth? Do you think she said, maybe I can hide him a little bit longer? No, I'm just going to, this is what I'm going to do. And Lord, I'm going to trust you in it. Because once that basket left her hands and is floating down the Nile, how much control did Jochebed have? Zero. She laid it before the Lord. And we know what the Lord did with that decision. How did this play out in my life? Well, recently, and I'll close with this. You may have heard, well, at least a month ago, if you were paying attention, the three high schools in the county, were not going to be having a prom this year. They were still debating what graduation would look like. And so my friends and the Young Life and some other kids that I know are just like second year in a row, not going to be able to get the dresses, not going to be able to you know, take the photos and have the memory of a prom. And so I was hearing this, and I'd kind of thought about doing a prom last year, but this year I was like, you know what? This would be 2 years in a row. So our juniors last year, who are now seniors, won't have that experience. And, you know, I think I know enough people and I have enough resources that I could pull this off. So I got a friend, the Fauches at the alpaca farm down in Addison. They were like, hey, we'll have the prom here. It'll be an outdoor. We weren't even going to call it a prom. We already decided that. And I got a DJ, so there was some music. I talked to the state health department about what it would look like. And I was going to call it the junior-senior ball. We were going to call it the masquerade ball, masquerade, but anyway. So I had a bunch of our leaders and our volunteers all prepped. We were ready. It was going to be last night, May 8th. And I thought, you know what I should do? I should let the schools know that I'm doing this. Not for their, just to let them know. Like, it's not going to be a school function. It was just going to be an Addison County junior senior ball. So I reached out to my principal friends. Well, not all of them I know that well, but the one I knew the most, I started there. I said, hey, just so that you know, we want to give kids a chance to dress up and do this, and we have the resources. It was met with less than excitement. Not enthusiastic about the thought of kids getting together. I'm like, okay, all right. It was a lengthy conversation. It was good. She had some questions. I think I answered them. Then I went to the next administration. Ooh, that was a little bit rougher. And so then I got a call. Hey, principal wants to talk to you from another school. So word was getting out. So then I talked to that principal, and I couldn't believe it. Not that they were telling me I can't do it. They knew it's the organization, not us. But it was pretty clear that the thought of kids getting together made them very nervous. They just want to get kids to the graduation. Like, they've been trying to hold this together. This is what I was hearing. We're just trying to keep kids in school. And this really, really concerned. And there was a lot there that they were sharing. And one even said, I'm still waiting to hear back from the state to see if I could get guidelines for the prom. I'm like, oh, well, I didn't know that. I thought you weren't having one. So I left those three, and I prayed. And I seeked wisdom. I seeked out leadership. Mom, that was the day I came over to your house, fell asleep on your couch. I was exhausted from those conversations. I was just like, I got to sit. I got to think. What are we going to do? Like, this ball isn't mission critical for Young Life. I don't need to do this. But it's just like, we're just getting kids together. Lord, what do you want? What do you want me to do? What do I do here? And I just gave it to the Lord. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to take their words, what they said to me, echo back. And they said, listen, I heard what you said. I heard your concerns. My intention was not to put kids in danger. You know that. And in fact, I wasn't even trying to, I was just trying to actually be helpful. And I wasn't trying to make your job more difficult. And so we're not going to move forward with that. And I know this seems really trivial, but for me, it was a moment when this was real in my life. Like, I didn't need three principals angry at Young Life and at the local. Like, I was weighing all this. Lord, what do you want? And I said, I can still love kids and we can care for kids. Well, now it turns out all three high schools are having some kind of a prom, right? Geneva, you're on a committee. So when it's all said and done, did it have an impact? Probably nothing, but you know what? It did have an impact on me. On just going through the process of saying, God, I thought I was going to go one way, and I need your wisdom. And I know that you and I are going to make decisions that have far bigger impact in people's lives than that. Moms, dads, your decisions are going to have far bigger impact on your kids. We know that. Grandparents, too. Let's take the wisdom of Jochebed, who maybe took a little bit of a risk, but ultimately she trusted God. Amen. We're going to pray, and then I would like you to stand as we sing this closing song, He Will Hold Me Fast, which we did sing, I think, a couple months ago when I was here. God, you have demonstrated over and over in Scripture and in our own lives, your faithfulness. And God, forgive us when we fail to bring decisions that we're making before you. God, save us from regret. Save us from looking back and wishing we had made a different decision. Give us wisdom and discernment and prudence for maybe even the most trivial things. God, give us the ability to say, this is what God would do if he were here. This is what Jesus would say. This is how Jesus would respond. Give us that maturity. Break us out of a cycle of last-minute decision-making and rushing into things. May our testimony be, these are people who have been with God. These are people who have spent time with Jesus. And may we experience blessing, even in a culture and a time and a place that it's difficult to raise kids. It's difficult to make decisions sometimes that are honoring to you. Give us the maturity and the wisdom to make those decisions for you. Amen.